RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, embraces ASEAN, discusses disaster response. The United Nations Development Programme, UNDP, committed to support forest governance. Indonesian government to push inclusive finance implementation. Now the news in detail. The head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Willem Rapangile, said that the joint response of the member states of Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, in disaster mitigation is crucial. As quoted by Tempo.co, he explained every country faces the challenge of multiple disasters and vulnerabilities. ASEAN could be hit by any disaster of any time. Willem also said that the meeting is aiming to encourage ASEAN to promote humanitarian cooperation, mitigate disaster risk, and foster resilience in the region. ASEAN must be prepared to cooperate and support the effort to help the government and the community affected by disasters. Willem said that based off the report of the United Nations International Strategy for Disaster Reduction, cyclone is the deadliest natural disaster in ASEAN. The natural disaster could harm humans, infrastructure, agriculture. The United Nations Development Programme, UNDP, remains committed to support the Indonesian government in improving forest governance in the country. It was stated by UNDP Country Director Indonesia Christoph Berwit on Tuesday in Jakarta on the sidelines of the launch of the 2015 Forest Assessment Governance Result. According to him, UNDP works together with the Indonesian government in many ways, including in analyzing forest governance and other related climate change issues.
And I think probably I can think about, you know, six areas where UNDP is very actively engaged. One is obviously the analysis that we presented, or this type of analysis, which we will continue to do on forest governance and other climate change related issues. The second one is obviously dialogue. Policies and procedures are obviously important. UNDP is a policy advisor, so the research we are doing is not only purely for the sake of documenting or producing reports. It has to be translated into policy. The fourth one would obviously be institution building. We believe in institutions. We believe that institutions are actually the backbone of translating those commitments into reality.
For the Mori Country Director, UNDP Indonesia Christoph Bauet also urged coordination effort among institutions to deal with environmental and forest governance issues. Regarding law enforcement effort against violations of forest governance, UNDP encouraged the Indonesian government to adopt a multi-door policy as a new strategy in handling forest crime cases using several possible legislations at once. The United Nations Development Programme launched the 2015 Forest Assessment Governance Result on Tuesday in Jakarta. The assessment was an analytical framework that can be used by the Indonesian government and other stakeholders on forest governance issues as well as resolving it. One of members of the assessment team, Abdul Wahib Situmorang, said that the assessment result showed improvement progress in forest governance in 2015 compared to previous year.
Ini hasil di tahun 2015.
This is the result from 2015 on how the improvement progress on forest governance compared to 2014. 49% respondents said that it has improved, 30% said stagnant and remain the same. 21% respondents said that it was declined compared to 2014. In addition to recording the forest governance result in 2015, the forest governance assessment also issued recommendations for the Indonesian government and the stakeholders. According to Abdul Wahib Situmorang, the Indonesian government and stakeholders should enhance a number of action plans to strengthen forest governance. The strengthening of forest governance includes setting priority program, reducing the gap between community and businesses, and licensing reform in the forestry sector. Abdul Wahib Situmorang also said that the government is expected to monitor businesses' obligations as license holders and create policies that not inhibit innovations on forest governance in Indonesia. The Ministry of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection has main function on to widely involve women in developing aspects. Minister of Women Empowerment and Child Protection, Johanna Susana Yambise, in a public discussion entitled Women and Innovation in Jakarta, said that at this time, many Indonesian women have the leadership position at the ministerial level, the legislative, executive and education. Minister Johanna said it is an indication that the situation of women in Indonesia is more advanced. Indonesia has been appointed as a role model for other countries. Hillary Clinton, for example, an American presidential candidate, taught the ambassadors, such as Afghan ambassador, to learn from Indonesia. Because women in Indonesia are quite developed. When coming to Indonesia, the Afghan ambassador stated that Indonesia could be a role model for other Muslim countries in the world. Johanna Susana Yambise further explained that Indonesia is a role model because Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world with a high tolerance where women and children are part of national development. Women in Indonesia also have the freedom to express anything that is positive for the nation's progress. In September 2015, in the UN General Assembly, Vice President Yusuf Kalla expressed his support for gender equality. Minister Johanna said that it is the government's commitment in realizing the involvement of women in development. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Deputy Rector of University of Queensland, Australia, Peter Hodge, in a press conference with Chairman of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Iskandar Zulkarnain, in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that University of Queensland assists LIPI with $300,000 for research in small islands and urban areas. He said the fund should also provide it for the people's development in the areas.
We are putting $300,000 into this project initially, so it's $300,000 Australian. And there are several components to it. One of the most important things is, of course, that our researchers can go together and work either in the small island environments or in the urban areas in which they want to make progress. So half of the budget, $150,000, will be spent to bring the people together. So they don't have to worry about whether they can afford to get together. They can.
Peter Hodge also explained the cooperation coverage between University of Queensland and LIPI is not only addressed for the development in small islands, but also in the field of strategic analysis, such as village development, engineering, city planning, anthropology, ecology, and sea zoology. The Indonesian government will increase the level of public participation in inclusive finance, as quoted by Tempo.co Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution in Jakarta said that the inclusive finance program is not necessarily new. However, to improve the program, the government will optimize it through social programs such as social aid or bansos, subsidies or student savings. Meanwhile, Head of Financial Service Authority Mulyaman Haddad said that World Bank data found that the level of participation of Indonesian people to financial institutions is only 35%. With inclusive finance program, the government is aiming to increase the number to 85%. The government has to better encourage the implementation. Moreover, Mulyaman explained that the president has asked the OJK to find other ways to improve public participation in financial institutions, one of which is to open financial access for startups and fishermen. The last item, the Indonesian government of Bali province will continue to help promote and introduce all village tourism in Bali. As quoted by Tempo.co, Head of Tourism Service Bali Province Anak Agung Gede Yuniarta Putra said that he will be partnering with travel agents and hotels in Bali to participate in promoting village tourism. Bali Province plans to meet with hotels because the government do not recommend that village tourism must create a homestay. Yuniarta explained that he has yet provided funds to promote village tourism. The promotion will be aided by Asita Bali by creating a travel package via exhibitions held in outside of Bali and abroad. Yuniarta said Bali province also has a village tourism communication forum, and they will be showing what a standard village tourism must look like in accordance with the contour of each region, as well as giving guidance. Listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB embraces ASEAN, discusses disaster response. The United Nations Development Programme UNDP committed to support forest governance. Indonesian government to push inclusive finance implementation. That was the news.
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.com. www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
A wonderful Indonesia.
Listener, here is commentary entitled Saudi Arabia Without Oil. Petroleum will become history for the Saudi Arabian economy. The biggest empire in the Arabian Peninsula is planning to release the dependency on petroleum as its biggest economic contributors in 2020. The 2030 country vision, designed by the Council of Economic Affairs and Development and led by a prince, seeks to no longer depend on the petroleum as the main support for the Saudi economy. After the council meeting on Monday, April 25th, told Al Arabiya Television, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who is also deputy chairman of the Council of the Crown, told Al Arabiya Television that the Saudis had been addicted to the oil and see it as dangerous and hampering development growth. The 2030 country vision was discussed by the leaders of Saudi Arabia after looking at the oil prices, which continue to fall to around $30 per barrel at the end of 2015. This resulted in a lower revenue, which made the Saudi economy shaken and suffer deficit that reached $87 billion. Last December, the Riyadh government conducted reform within the kingdom after the drop in oil prices. The day before the announcement of Vision 2030, King Salman dismissed Minister of Water and Electricity Abdullah Al Husayn. This was done after the public outcry over the policy of Al Husayn, which cut electricity and water tariffs subsidies. Last March, Minister Al Husayn called for the permission to get people to have their own wells, but the request was not considered effective to overcome the crisis of water and electricity. It was suggested again after the Saudi government cut the subsidies on electricity rates, water, and other services. As substitute, King Salman then named the Minister of Agriculture, Abdul Rahman Al Fadli, as Acting Minister of Water and Electricity. What will be done by Saudi Arabia to implement the vision in 2030? The country is planning to sell 5% stock in the state oil company, Aramco, to the public to get fresh funds amounting to $2.5 trillion. The sale will be a record that exceeded the Facebook All Alibaba stock sale. In addition to selling stock, another plan is to create jobs for 6 million Saudis and increase family income by 60%. The vision also revealed a savings of plans up to $30 billion by 2020. Part of the fund from the stock sale will be put into the sovereign wealth fund that will capitalize around $2.7 trillion. However, the plan was not without criticism. The International Monetary Fund warned that it is an ambitious plan and not easy to implement and pose a variety of challenges. In the midst of the economic crisis, Saudi Arabia held a summit of the Gulf Cooperation Council, or GCC. US President Barack Obama attended the summit and met up with King Salman, but the welcoming atmosphere this time was somewhat different. Saudi Arabia saw Obama's maneuver, who said Saudi Arabia and Iran should be good neighbors, as a signal of the beginning of the US approach to Iran after the nuclear deal with the country after the country was achieved. Looking at the trend in oil prices, which continue to decrease, Saudi Arabia of course has the right to decide whether the oil became the mainstay of its economy or not. For Indonesia, the low oil price is at least a blessing because the cost of its oil imports also fell. Saudi's steps in reforming its economy to maintain stability in the Middle East region should be supported, given the region is in the lowest point since the security issues in Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. And listener, that was our commentary today.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, here is Today in History. We begin with an event on April 27, 1960, Togo gains its independence. On April 27, 1960, Togo, a country located in African western coast, gained its independence from France. Previously, in the 15th century, Togo was colonized by Portuguese, and since 17th and 18th century, Togo was a slave trade center, so that it was known as the Slave Coast. In 1858, Germany colonized Togo, and when the World War I broke out in 1914, Togo was split into two. The east part belonged to France, while the west to England. In 1960, Togo, conquered by the France, proclaimed their independence under the name Republic Togo. We move into an event on April 27, 1961, independence of Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone, a country in West Africa, initially consisted of several small kingdoms. In 1460, a Portuguese sailor named Pedro de Sintra discovered the region and named it Sierra Leone, meaning Leone's Mountains. In 18th century, Britain began invading and colonizing it until 1961. Sierra Leone gained its independence from the British colonial government. Their new country was led by Milton Margai, with British colonial governance style. We end Today in History with an event on April 27, 1963, the Indonesian Penitentiary Day. Indonesian Penitentiary Day was one of historical day for criminal justice system in Indonesia, because on the day, convict detainment concept based on correctional system was agreed as the realization of idea initiated by Professor Saharjo. Behind many negative stories on penitentiary, there had been improvements in every aspects began with the correctional concept by Professor Saharjo. According to him, the duty of prison department is not only punishing, but also a far tougher, which is returning the convicts into the society. Previously, the prison system was strengthened by Law No. 12, 1995 on penitentiary. With this law, it is expected the effort to realize the vision of Pancasila-based penitentiary system can be more robust. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Voy Green featuring Indonesia Commemorates Mother Earth Day. The world commemorates the Mother Earth Day on April 22nd annually. In Indonesia, government institutions and environmental organizations commemorated the day through various means. However, the day was mostly commemorated by planting trees, as it is done in other countries. Indonesian government, represented by Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, together with Tarakanita Foundation, commemorated the World Earth Day 2016, like its theme, Trees for the Earth, by planting 300 rare trees originating from Nusa Tenggara regions. The planting was held at Eco Park Cibinong Science Center Botanic Garden, Bogor Regency, West Java, on Saturday, April 23rd. Eco Park Botanic Garden is an expansion of Bogor Botanical Garden, managed by LIPI, because it could not accommodate rare plant species. LIPI Botanical Garden Plant Conservation Center's administration head, Ate Subarna, said that the plant grouping at the Eco Park is divided into 7 origin places of the plants or ecoregions based on the mainland of Indonesia, namely Sumatra, Java, Bali, Kalimantan, Sulawesi, Maluku, Nusa Tenggara, and Papua. Among the plants were the ones locally well known, such as lontar or Borassus flabellifer, candlenut, and forest mangosteens. Tarakanita Foundation chose this activity to increase people's awareness on the environment, especially on the cleanliness and comfort. One tree has millions of benefits for lives, such as providing clean air and preventing global warming. According to Ajay Subarna, LIPI also held tree adoption program where individuals, groups, or companies can plant tree at Cibinong Eco Park. The participants only need to pay 1 year care. The cost to adopt a tree for individuals or school students is 50,000 rupiah per person per tree, while for small companies it is $100 per tree and $1,000 per blocks consisting of 50 trees for big companies. In the planting, LIPI prioritizes species with conservation value or rare ones. Ajay Subarna added, in conjunction to the Earth Day, LIPI Eco Park invited the people to care of the environment. The awareness must be created since young age, because environmental conservation is important for ecology. That was Voy Green.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, April 27, 2016. We begin with Kompas Daily, which wrote several regulations synchronized. President Joko Widodo gathered the leaders of the law enforcement institutions related on the tax amnesty draft bill. President wanted them to share same perception before the draft was agreed and ratified. This movement was taken to smoothen the discussion and soon be ratified by the House. The other prepared move was synchronizing several regulations if the draft bill was ratified. President Joko Widodo emphasized the same perception was achieved during his meeting with the Attorney General M. Prasetyo, National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti, and three leaders of Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK at the Merdeka Palace Jakarta on Tuesday, April 26. The Presidential Special Staff for Communication, Johan Budi SP, said the same perception is important for the draft bill discussion. Republika wrote, President stops ministerial data project. President Joko Widodo asked all data for policy determination reference must come from one source, which is the Central Statistics Agency or BPS. The goal is to make all data used by the government to be uniform. Thus, there will not be another data collection project from the ministry. The president exemplified the data differences on national waste production. He found different data from several institutions, which made difficulties in deciding the rice import policy to fulfill the domestic demand. According to him, the many ministries and institutions in Indonesia had too much version of data and information, which hampered decision-making. The president wanted the data uniformity. Currently, he trusted one institution for the data, which is Central Statistics Agency. According to him, one of the keys to win the international competition is possessing strategic, accurate, and quality data and information. Media Indonesia wrote, Tax Task Force must be independent. Government's plan to inform the tax task force was welcomed positively. Moreover, if its members involve independent parties such as public accountant, forensic auditor, academician, and non-governmental organizations. This was emphasized by the Executive Director of Center for Indonesian Taxation Analysis, Justinus Prastowo. Meanwhile, President Joko Widodo on Monday, April 25th, decided to form the tax task force to respond to the tax amnesty draft bill discussion in the House. The task force will consist of Financial Service Authority, or OJK, Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center, or PPTK, Bank Indonesia, Attorney General Office, National Police, and Ministry of Law and Human Rights, all under the coordination of the Finance Ministry. The duty of this task force, among many, is to ensure the origin of the Indonesian citizens' money and will not criminalize it unless the money comes from the terrorists, narcotics, or human traffickers. We end today's headline with Tempo, a set tracking abroad government-involved foreign investigator. Government will involve international institutions in tracking Indonesian assets abroad. Head of the Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center or PPATK, Muhammad Yusuf, said the coordination is with the International Financial Intelligence Agency, joined in the ECMAN group of the Financial Intelligence Unit, mainly to track the tax haven. Yusuf then claimed there is data similarity of the PPATK with the Panama Papers. This finding, according to him, still be investigated further because the motive of the shell company's establishment or bringing assets to tax haven is still unknown. However, Yusuf admitted, asset repatriation is not easy. If referring to the tax law, it will take 6 months to prove the case. Therefore, Yusuf assessed that the tax amnesty bill will accelerate the fund repatriation. However, the policy must not ignore the prevention and eradication of the money laundering. And listener, that was our headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The head of National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Willem Rampangile, said that the joint response of the member states of Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, in disaster mitigation is crucial. The United Nations Development Programme, UNDP, remains committed to support the Indonesian government in improving forest governance in the country. The United Nations Development Programme launched the 2015 Forest Assessment Governance Result on Tuesday in Jakarta. The assessment was an analytical framework that can be used by the Indonesian government and other stakeholders on forest governance issues as well as resolving it. The Ministry of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection has main function to widely involve women in development aspects. Minister of Women Empowerment and Child Protection, Yohana Yambise, in a public discussion entitled Women and Innovation in Jakarta, said that at this time, many Indonesian women have the leadership position at the ministerial level, the legislative, executive, and education. Deputy Director of University of Queensland, Australia, Peter Hodge, in a press conference with Chairman of Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Iskandar Zulkarnain, in Jakarta, said that University of Queensland assists LIPI with $300,000 for research in small islands and urban areas. The Indonesian government will increase the level of public participation in inclusive finance. As quoted by Tempo.co, Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution in Jakarta said that the inclusive finance program is not necessarily new. The Indonesian government of Bali province will continue to help promote and introduce all village tourism in Bali. Bali province plans to meet with hotels because the local government do not recommend that village tourism must create a homestay. The promotion will be aided by Asita Bali by creating a travel package via exhibitions held in outside of Bali and abroad. That was News in Brief.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing, and with the beauty of nature, among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. A wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI, World Service, Voice of Indonesia, present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Burung Island in Belitung. Stay tuned. Listeners, Burung or Burong Island is a beautiful island in Belitung Regency, Bangka Belitung Province. If you go to Belitung, please do not forget to enjoy the beauty of Burung Island. The island can be reached around 25 until 30 minutes from Tanjung Kelayang by using car. Listeners, Burung Island is exact choice for its visitors who want to take a rest from routine activities. The situation on this island is very comfortable. This island has white and smooth sand, which is completed with clear blue seawater, granite rocks on the beach, and the ocean. You can also be relaxed under coconut trees at the surrounding area.
Marilah di tepat layang, di tepat dari delapan.
Listeners, this island is called Burung Island by local people because there is a stone which looks like a bird sitting on the sea and as if saying welcome on beautiful nature. If low tide, you can walk or swim from beach to big stone, which becomes icon of the island. If you want to enjoy fresh water of young coconut, you can pluck it by yourself, or you can ask for help to the seller of services. And you do not have to worry about facility because this island also provides clean water, restroom, and also most. Are you interested to come to Burung Island? Please set your time to take holiday to go to this island and make your picture with your own camera as with memory. That was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Listener, here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and expression as well as their use in conversation. Our topic today is ke Museum Batik, or in English means going to a batik museum. Stay tuned. First, I will present to you the vocabulary and expressions related to our topic today. I will say them twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Ke Museum Batik. Ke Museum Batik. In English, to Batik Museum. Selamat pagi. Selamat pagi. In English, good morning. Nyonya dan Tuan. Nyonya dan Tuan. In English, ladies and gentlemen, sekarang, sekarang. In English, now. Di mana letaknya? Di mana letaknya? In English, where is the location? Di Jalan Museum nomor 5. Di Jalan Museum nomor 5. In English, at Museum Street number 5. Di tengah kota. Di tengah kota. In English, at the city center. Mengoleksi. Mengoleksi. In English, to collect. Berbagai koleksi batik. Berbagai koleksi batik. In English, various batik collection. dari tahun 1880. Dari tahun 1880. In English, since 1880. Sampai sekarang. Sampai sekarang. In English, until now. Dari mana asalnya? Dari mana asalnya? In English, where is the origin? Berbagai daerah lainnya. Berbagai daerah lainnya. In English, various other regions. Berbagai macam motif. Berbagai macam motif. In English, various pattern. Luas. Luas. In English, wide. 1,000 meter persegi. 1,000 meter persegi. In English, 1,000 square meter. Bercorak tradisional dan modern. Bercorak tradisional dan modern. In English, traditional and modern pattern. Siap, siap. Siap, siap. In English, get ready. Alright, listener, now here is a conversation example between the tour guide or A and the tourist or B. I will say them twice slowly and you can follow after me. A. Selamat pagi Tuan dan Nyonya. Sekarang kita akan ke Museum Batik. Selamat pagi Tuan dan Nyonya. Sekarang kita akan ke Museum Batik. In English, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Now we will go to Batik Museum. B. Di mana letaknya? Di mana letaknya? In English, where's the location? A. Letaknya di Jalan Museum nomor 5, tepatnya di tengah kota. Letaknya di Jalan Museum nomor 5, tepatnya di tengah kota. In English, it is at Museum Street No. 5 at the city center. B. Apa saja yang ada di museum tersebut? Apa saja yang ada di museum tersebut? In English, what is available at the museum? A. Museum ini mengkoleksi berbagai koleksi batik dari tahun 1880 sampai sekarang. Museum ini mengoleksi berbagai koleksi batik dari tahun 1880 sampai sekarang. In English, this museum collects various batik collection since 1880 until now. B. Dari mana batiknya berasal? Dari mana batiknya berasal? In English, where's the origin? A. Dari Yogyakarta, Solo, Madura, dan dari berbagai daerah lainnya di Indonesia. Dari Yogyakarta, Solo, Madura, dan dari berbagai daerah lainnya di Indonesia. In English, from Yogyakarta, Solo, Madura, and various other regions in Indonesia. B. Luasnya berapa? Luasnya berapa? In English, how big is it? A. Luasnya 1,000 meter persegi. Bangunannya bercorak tradisional dan modern. Luasnya 1,000 meter persegi. Bangunannya bercorak tradisional atau modern. In English, it is 1,000 square meters wide. It has traditional and modern pattern. B. Kapan kita ke sana? Kapan kita ke sana? In English, when will we go? A. Sebentar lagi, sekitar jam 8.30, kita berangkat bersama-sama. Sebentar lagi, sekitar jam 8.30, kita berangkat bersama-sama. In English, soon, around 8.30, we will go together. B. Baiklah, mari kita siap-siap. Baiklah, mari kita siap-siap. In English, alright, let's get ready. Listener, Listener, that was the Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. We will meet again next week with other interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and see you next time.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you to an Indonesian pop singer, Kinan Nasution. Well, listener, to initiate today's segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the first song entitled Nuansa Bening by Kinan Nasution. Happy listening.
Sona, ketika kau lewat di hadapanku, biasa saja. Waktu pertalian terjalin sudah, ada yang menarik pancaran diri terus mengganggu. Mendengar cerita sehari-hari yang wajar tapi tetap mengasyikkan. Tiada kejutan pesona diri pertama ku jabat jemari tanganmu, biasa saja. Sudah ada yang menarik bayang-bayangmu, tak mau pergi. Dirimu nuansa, nuansa ilham, hamparan laut tiada bertepi. Dalam hatiku, menangkap nuansa-nuansa benar.
Kinan Nasution was firstly known in the Indonesian music industry when he formed Sabda Nada Music Group in 1966 with his brother and colleagues. In the group, Kinan played the drums. Sabda Nada changed its name into Gypsy in 1969. In 1972, Gypsy tried to their luck in Manhattan, the United States, to entertain people at the Ramayana restaurant. In 1975, the Gypsy personnel back to Indonesia then made a collaboration with Guru Soekarno Putra to produce a great collaboration that resulted masterpiece album entitled Guru Gypsy, were drafted by Kinan and Guru. Kinan had joined the famous rock group God Bless along with his brothers Oding and Debbie Nasution. Just briefly joined with God Bless in 1975, Kinan formed Badai Band together with Oding. The group was strengthened by a number of famous musicians in Indonesia such as Krisya, Faris RM, Yoki Suryo Prayogo, Roni Harahap, and Guru Soekarno Putra. The spectacular band did not have time to release an album. The traits of Badai Band can be listened through the song Sabda Alam of Krisya solo album and Yoki Suryo Prayogo solo album entitled Musik Saya Adalah Saya. Many people said Kinan Nasution formed another band group, Geng Pegangsaan, even though the group was actually formed by his brother, Debbie Nasution. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Di Batas Angan by Kinan Nasution. Happy listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.